God's grace and peace be to you, Bill, and to Sue and to Vern, Kurt and Dory. And God's grace and peace be to all of you grandkids. We also are mindful of you that aren't here. And God's grace and peace be to all of Paula's family and family of faith that gathers today. We gather in the assurance of the resurrection. That's what you did a few days ago at our sister church, Christ Church Lutheran, out in Phoenix. And we also gather today in the assurance of the resurrection. Your wife, your mom, your grandma, she was prepared for September 20th. She was prepared. It's not that she was ready to die, but she was ready to be done with cancer. You know that. More importantly, she was ready for eternity. She was ready for a resurrection celebration. Paula was ready for Jesus. On September 20th, God kept his promises for your wife. And today we still grieve because an absence was created when God called to himself one who served faithfully as wife and mom and as grandma. I loved reading your emails over the past week. Some of you sent notes sharing about how she was used by God in your life. And so my prayer is that you hold on to those memories and that God allows you to cry when you need to cry, and also to celebrate and laugh when you need to celebrate and laugh. Because I believe Paula was the lady who had fun and had great joy. One of the many joys that I've learned, and I knew from watching when you would visit here, Bill, is one of Paula's joys, though there were many in her life, one was music. It was a huge joy for her. And that music goes way back. It goes way back. And Bill, you met her the first time when you picked her up from an airport, right? This new, young, single female teacher coming to our church. I'll volunteer and drive her from the airport. Yeah, and they started making music, I think, then. So, church choir was a place that was vital for you two. And I will break the seal, the confessional. He purposely sang off key so that this young lady would turn around and glare at him. And then they would have to go to the pizza place afterwards and get things back in tune, so to speak. But I would like for us to use that gift of music, and actually this whole service is what God's people used out at Christ Phoenix just a few days ago. The readings and the songs. They had to trade out the musicians and the preacher. But Pastor Frank, your pastor at Christ, used a song for the basis of the meditation, and I would like for us to do that today. A song, a hymn, Paula's favorite. I am Jesus, little lamb. Let us join in singing the first stanza. Such amazing words of assurance. We didn't sing, I might be Jesus' little lamb. I wonder if I'm Jesus' little lamb. But by the gift of faith, your wife could boldly sing, I am. I am Jesus' little lamb. And it's those amazing words that I believe gives us a glimpse into this child of God, this sister of ours, a wife, a mother, a grandmother. She belonged to others besides Christ. 58 years, you two walked side by side, in essence, belonging to one another. From that first pickup at the airport to journeying side by side to keeping those vows till death separated. You, Bill, modeled for your children and grandchildren what it means to walk side by side, belonging to one another. But I hate to burst your bubble, sir, but long before you two belonged to one another, she belonged to another. She belonged to Jesus. Albert and Eleonora took little Paula, and on March the 10th, 1933, her parents, knowing the needs of their newborn, carried her to the font at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Norwood Park, Illinois. And there, she was adopted by grace. God knew her need, as we just sang, that amazing need of forgiveness. And there in those waters, in that mysterious, mighty gift of God, he buried Paula for the first time in Jesus. And he raised her the first time in the resurrection. And it's in that new birth that God said to Paula Sachleben, "Paula, you're now my little lamb." And from that day on, God blessing her with the gift of faith, she could sing this song. "Indeed, I am Jesus' little lamb." And she could journey with that assurance of Christ. Ever glad? Ever glad, yeah. We couldn't figure out how to sing "Ever Fun." But boy, the stories you've shared and the fun she provided. Bill, she got you out of your comfort zone, drug you to one social event after another. And if she couldn't drag you to it, she planned it for the house, right? But last night you said, "I kind of liked it." Yeah. Ever fun, ever a blessing, a life filled with joy, but assurance in faith turns it into a life filled with gladness. "I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am." Let us sing the next stanza. At home or away, it was Jesus. Day by day for your grandmother, who many of you in your emails to me shared how important her faith was. Or Vern, you shared as a son-in-law, a mother-in-law whose faith was vital, not only for her children, but for her grandchildren. A faith day by day. But I think she might have liked that second line in that stanza, "When I hunger," because the talk of food came out in your emails. Oh, how I wish I knew what colorful coleslaw looked like. But some of you have the recipe. Potato salad, the infamous yellow meal. Yeah, fish sticks, corn, macaroni and cheese, and peaches. Yeah. A diner's delight. When you hunger, Grandma was there. But what about that deeper hunger? A deeper hunger that's not felt in the stomach, but that's felt in the heart. God giving the gift of faith to your wife, she knew that when she hungered, there was one place to go. And she turned to it time and time again. And it was the Word. There the Lord, our shepherd, fed her, leading her into pleasant pastures and by quiet waters, taking her to the Word and to the gifts at the table, reminding her of the blessing of the watery baptism. There, day by day, that little lamb, your mother, was fed. And then God used her as an under-shepherd. That's what God does. He redeems us, he calls us by name, he makes us his, and then he sends us out with that same message. And he sent Paula out into a family blessed with two kids, an under-shepherd, to shepherd Sue and to shepherd Kurt. Maybe shepherding one was a little bit easier than the other. That's up for decision. Yeah, you're looking at each other. But you knew what was important from both your mom and your dad as they took you to the cross and there pointed you to Jesus Christ, reminding you that indeed you too were his little lamb because of the way he lived and died and rose again. And then her shepherding continued as she focused on grandchildren. Some of you she spent a lot of time with when you were younger, and some when you were older, splitting time between Nebraska and Arizona, but shepherding a family. Well, blessing you with great joy, but making sure you knew Jesus. And not only at home, but away. God called her out of the home and into classrooms. They're serving as an under-shepherd so that little ones would know that they indeed were the little lambs of Jesus. At St. Paul Lutheran Church in Belvedere, Illinois, where she canvassed the neighborhood trying to gather again children to get a school started. Ebenezer Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Trinity Lutheran Church in Mount Clemens, Michigan, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Warren, Michigan. God used Paula as your wife and mom, your grandma, and as a teacher, that others could join in that song and boldly sing with faith that indeed they too were Jesus' little lambs. I'd like for us now just to listen. Listen to this last stanza. Who's so happy? The Paula I got to see when she visited here, in health and also in sickness, struggling even in her last visit this spring. There was still a joy, a happiness that undergirded maybe the challenges of physical well-being. She probably was not overjoyed, facing cancer four times, a hip issue, a mini stroke. And yet there was this gladness that came not from being well physically, but being assured eternally in Jesus Christ. Who's so happy as I am, even now, right now, no matter what it was, whether it was in life or in death, she was the shepherd's lamb. The hymn writer said it well, when this short life is ended. I have found that once I crossed over the 50 mark, 80 does not seem that old anymore. 83 years, 6 months, 10 days. A short life. But it's really short when we by faith compare it to what waits us. Because there's a life to come that does not end. Oh, we'd like one more day. One more visit with Grandma. One more conversation. One more yellow dinner? I don't know on that one. Some more words of wisdom. encouragement and celebration when another great-grandchild is born. Oh, how we would long for just one more day. And yet this short life was ended, and God in his grace called Paula. Sins paid for, the longer life assured, rest guaranteed. And on September 20th, he folded Paula to his breast and there granted her that rest that she longed for. She was, not because of how she lived, but because of how Christ lived and died for her, she was Jesus' little lamb. And Paula could sing that song with assurance, and you, my friends, today, we can sing that same song with that same assurance. Because God's gift of grace and faith is yours. That you and I, in the midst of our grief and loss, in the midst of our challenges that we personally face in each of our lives, we can walk out this day with that assurance singing that indeed we are Jesus' little lambs. For that's what he so desires. So that when our day comes at the end of this short life that we live, we may too be so happy that he has folded us to his breast. Bill, may God grant you peace, and may we continue to sing that assurance of faith in Jesus. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which is beyond our ability to understand, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our good shepherd, and may you follow him as his little lambs. Amen. To God's word this day, I invite you to take the hymnal, and we sing a hymn of response, hymn 808.